The Outdoor Show. It's the program that puts you into the peaceful and beautiful home of Mother Nature. It moves you back to that calm fishing pond up north, one step away from Lake Michigan, or into your hunting blind on a brisk fall morning. The Outdoor Show. It's a peaceful program. This is not your mother's outdoor show. This is the WHTC Outdoor Show, hosted by a guy who literally has hunting in his name. Tom Meddendorp is Dutch for Village in the Maiden, or King's Hunting Ground. Your co-host, sometimes, is Tim Becker of Powderhorn Guns and Archery. It's time for what really happens when the guys go up north on that hunting trip. It's time for the WHTC Outdoor Show, presented by My Firearms ETS. That's MI Firearms ETS on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.
Good morning and welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Westonbrook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, West Michigan Bow Hunters, and My Firearms ETS. That's MI Firearms ETS. Education, training, supply. You can find us at MIFirearmsETS.com or give us a call at 616-218-7328. You're listening to The Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's outdoor news leader. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 395-1450. I'm Tom Meddendorp, and my co-host, sometimes, Tim Becker of Powderhorn Guns and Archery, is sometimes again. Actually, he's hunting bears, and I'm here with Lee Hoeksma.
Good morning.
He's not a hunter. He's not a fisherman. He just loves the outdoors, and we're talking about all the activities coming up this fall. Yes, some of them will be hunting and fishing, but there's other things you can do out there in nature.
In the outdoors.
God's creation.
Tom, I just listened to your recorded intro earlier, and the lovely sounds of Mother Nature, and almost put me back to sleep, because it's just really not like that. I mean, there's some time for some peace and quiet, but outdoors is just meant to be enjoying the outdoors, having fun.
Well, yeah, that's why this is not your mother's outdoor show.
My mother goes outside once in a while, but yeah, I understand.
Oh, but your mother, she likes to go, she gets down and dirty. She hunts mushrooms in the spring and everything.
Yes, she does. And in fact, this week, Thursday during the day, they took a 24-mile bike ride up on the Muscatawa Trail.
They did not.
Yes, they did.
Wow.
Yes.
They're just cranking right along.
They are. She's doing just fine.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Which is a nice outdoor activity, by the way.
Oh, it's a beautiful outdoor activity to go bicycling. You know, we saw a bike, I think they're at, you know, Walmart or something, but they have these really fat tires. Reminds me of when the motorcycle, the Fat Cat came out, had the really fat tires, motorcycle for trail riding and so on. But it's a bicycle, and it's got, oh, they're probably four inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it when we were camping.
It's not a trail bike, though.
Probably not, but it's cool looking.
You've seen my camping bike, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got 4-inch tires on that thing.
Four inch wide?
Yes.
They're 4 inches wide?
Oh,
then
yeah,
I didn't see that one.
There's great big wide tires.
Oh.
That fat-tired bike with a big fat-tired seat for me.
Yeah, I figure with those fat-tire bikes, you can just kind of bounce down the trail.
Oh, it's more or less for cruising through the campground.
Ah.
Works great. But, you know, there's just another thing you can do. Camping this time of year is also a lot of fun.
Yeah, you don't get to do as much of that anymore.
No, my life's changed just a wee bit.
Going from 25 years in law enforcement, 30 years in law enforcement, really, with
my reserve and Marine time and all that stuff.
Well, and the 5 years prior to that doing security, and then retiring and turning right around and becoming our new public safety and security services, or our instructor.
Instructor, yeah, at the CTC.
Yeah.
Very excited for this opportunity, but
yeah,
a little overwhelmed at the same time.
Oh, it can be that way. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of kids that are going back to school now, too. And the weekends are going to be the only thing left for them. And a lot of kids work on the weekends, but many of them make time to get out and hunt and fish and camp.
Yes, they do.
In the fall. You know, like Monday is early goose season.
Early goose season.
The early goose season is on Monday. That's when it begins. I think it runs for 15 days. That's Have you seen some of the set-aside fields where geese are just flying
You know, it's like a parking lot for geese.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of hunters that are going to be sitting in those fields and so on come Monday. That'll be the early season, and then, of course, the later seasons will come up. And so
how do they get to, you know, train? You know, it's like the same thing I always ask, too. They put those signs on the side of the road, deer crossing. How do they train the deer to cross there? How do you get the geese to say, here's where we want you to park, geese? You know, I know you put a couple, you know, decoys down or something, perhaps. But, how do you communicate like that with the animals to get them to do what you want them to do?
Well, it's quite intricate in the communication with the animals.
Oh, so you could call them in even.
Yeah.
Come here so I can shoot you.
Well, you know, we've had many goose hunters on here and so on, and you get a goose call, and a lot of times people just squawk on them goose calls. They're not positive what to do, but these guys, they come in and they know what type of call they're doing to get the geese to come their direction. They know what type of call to make it look or to make it sound like the calls that are coming from the decoys, the flock that they
set up. Kind of like a ventriloquist.
It's pretty awesome. It really is. Ventriloquist. They know what they're doing, and I'm sure there's a lot of young guys out there getting started and so on, a lot of organizations around here that can help them get started. You know, in our past shows, people could listen to how to get that started and how to make those calls in order to call them in. But we've got some other things like fall turkey.
Turkey season, yeah.
Fall turkey. I always like fall turkey. The application period, of course, is over, and we have a caller on the line.
We have a caller.
They probably want to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I bet they do. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Hey, Tom, good morning. This is Ron Collin.
Ron Collin? No, you're not. You're Ron Chavez.
No, today I'm Ron Collin.
Oh, okay.
Decided I'm going to be Dutch.
It's Van Collin.
Van Collin, okay. Hey, you're talking about instructions, why the geese cross here, deer cross here, and, you know, things like that. That's where Tim Becker's at. He's up north doing instructional training. He's in session. He took these little mini videos, and he's up there teaching all these new baby animals.
Where to cross, huh?
This is where you go. You got to find this sign. This is where you cross.
And that's where he places it, just for those animals that he taught, and that's why he's never on the show.
Yeah, but that's why he's a successful hunter, because he's got them animals trained.
Then he parks right there, you know, and waits for them.
Parks on the side of the highway.
We love giving Tim a hard time, especially when he's not here.
He's never here, yeah.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Ron. We'll talk to you soon. And, you know, the of course, small game is going to be starting up, but with all these different seasons starting up, we're going to have different shows that are going to outline
each of those seasons.
Yeah, things that you can do and how to do it and things you shouldn't do and try to keep people on the straight and narrow when it comes to, you know, hunting and fishing. But fishing is great in the fall, and as you said, camping is great in the fall.
You know, there's hunting, fishing, there's a lot, but there's so much more you can do.
There is.
This time of year and really enjoy just being outdoors. I mean, we've had an exceptionally nice summer this year where the weather's been kind of cool at night. Some people like to have it hot all the time, but
yeah.
I tell you what, when you're camping, hiking, backpacking, or whatever, to get out there and have a nice sunny day and a cool nights, it's awesome.
Most definitely. And we're going to talk more about those activities in a moment. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Weston Brook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Weston Brook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Jennison store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by West Michigan Bow Hunters, protecting our hunting rights and educating the next generation about our hunting heritage here in Michigan. West Michigan Bow Hunters is a chapter of Safari Club International. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. I'm here with Lee Hooksma this morning. Tim is sometimes again. Actually, he's bear hunting.
Bear. You know, the trick with bear hunting is you always got to go with somebody.
Yeah, because you got to be able to run faster.
Exactly. So I hope he's not alone today.
The problem is he can't find anybody that runs slower than him to go with.
That poor guy.
poor Timmy. Anyway, you know, we've got the different seasons coming up, and I kind of want to highlight some of the stuff coming up, and then we'll get to some of the alternative things that we're going to be doing outdoors this fall. We've got the early goose season starts on Monday, September 1, and the fall turkey hunting, you had to apply. The application period was July 1 to August 1, but I believe, I'm not positive, and if somebody could give a call and help us out, I think there is a general license that you can purchase for a certain hunt to hunt on public land, but I don't know if we can do that down here. I'm not real versed on the turkey hunting for this fall because I wasn't planning on doing it. It's going to be a very busy fall for me. And then you have your antlerless deer. I hope everybody got their applications in. That was back in July 15 to August 15. I think there'll be leftover licenses for that. And, of course, deer season, our archery season begins October 1, and then our firearm season starts on November 15th.
Things to look forward to.
Well, yeah, and we're going to be covering those things. Congratulations to those who got drawn for the elk hunting up in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula. The application period was back in May 1 to June 1, but the elk hunting, I hope that we have a elk hunter from our area that gives us a call. And when they get back from their hunt, we can have them come in and talk about how exciting, exhilarating, and fun it is to go up and hunt elk in northern Lower Peninsula. Of course, there's black bear hunting back in...
Black bear.
Yeah. Black bear hunting in Michigan. That one's coming up. And congratulations to those who got drawn for black bear hunting. You know, there's... We have that. And then we've got... All our small game seasons begin on September 15th, and we also have the woodcock migration, so we have the timber doodles we can go hunt in the middle of that, and there's just all kinds of things to do.
There's plenty, and then if you don't hunt or fish, because there's occasionally people like that out there, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
There are other things.
Occasionally, there's a lot of people.
There's like other things that one can do. We talked about biking on some of the trails. I know Yankee Springs has got some great trails mm-hmm. nearby here. People mountain bike on, backpacking trails. We've got here in Ottawa County several little just hiking trails if you want to go for day hikes. Hemlock Crossing there has got some beautiful locations there for hiking and walking. You can walk along the Creek and River there.
Oh, yeah.
Often Pigeon Lake there.
Yeah, we've done reports on Hemlock Crossings and other things. That's a great place for a fall, like a color tour.
Absolutely.
When the leaves start changing, to just take a quick little trip over to Hemlock Crossings and go up and down the Pigeon River there. And you can canoe down and canoe back up because it's so nice and slow and meandering.
And I did that last year. The water's a little shy. I haven't had a chance to try to do that this year. I don't know what the water level of up. We had a portage quite a bit because...
You did?
Oh, yeah, coming through there. I put in at Hemlock.
With your kayaks, you had to.
Yep. I put in at Hemlock, and we went all the way up to Pigeon Lake and back.
Okay.
Matthew and I did that, and we'd get out quite a few times. You know, there's some debris across the creeks here and there where they don't get a chance to clean it, but there's also kind of some pretty shallow spots.
Well, you think about that with the debris going across the creeks, you know, and the rivers. There could be debris where we're going tomorrow.
Well, where are you going tomorrow?
Well, I'm going with you.
Oh, yes. I think we have 19... man-operated vessels going on the river tomorrow.
That's going to be fun.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to be Croton to Newaygo.
A little kayak canoe trip.
Yeah, on the Muskegon. And that area right there, because there are canoe trips that the canoe liveries do, if trees and stuff fall down, a lot of times they go out and take care of it. Because like on the Pine River on the Manistee River, those areas where the canoe trips go, where the liveries go, they go out and actually take
care
of that.
They take that, clean that up.
Yeah,
it's nice somebody can do that.
Well, it's not something that the state does to the rivers, so we're not paying taxes for that. That's all in the fees that are paid to the liveries, of course. They go out and they share the responsibility because there's so many different liveries up north that are, you know, running those canoe trips. But you mentioned bicycling.
Yes.
I know a lot of guys who combine bicycling and bow hunting.
Bicycling and bow hunting. Like before you go there, when I was in law, we had to do a bicycle. I went to a bicycle school.
Okay.
You know, I rode my bicycle down the stairs of Chrysler Arena.
Well, didn't you do some as a cop
yes,
on a bicycle
yeah,
for
cop
a while?
On bike. Yeah, but I went to a week-long training school. I know, a week-long to learn how to ride a bike, you know. I understand.
You learn how to do a lot of things.
But one of the things we had to do is we were in the gravel pits, and we had to run ride as fast as you could for like a half-mile ride, and you're responding to like an officer down kind of call.
Okay.
And you had to get off your bike, take cover, and fire your firearm.
Oh, goodness
gracious. It was comical because that lack, you're pumping your legs, you're going as fast as you can, and you try to get off your bike gracefully. A lot of people were doing somersaults and stuff and crawling because their leg, you know, they just couldn't get their legs under them real quick.
It's kind of like getting off the boat after you get off the rough water and you can't walk on the dock.
Then try to draw your firearm and get your shot. It's
your
tedious.
Bearings and make the shot.
Yeah.
Well, that's why there's training for
that's
it.
That's right. But anyway, bow hunting and bicycling.
Well, bow hunting and bicycling, a lot of guys, in order to get into certain areas, even in Allegan, there's a couple of good two-mile square blocks that you can go into to hunt. Well, if you got to go in that half mile and there's a forest trail or something like that, and you've got a tree climber stand that you can that works, it's got backpack right. straps on it, mm-hmm. and you got your bow and so on, I've run into a lot of guys that use their bicycle to get into where they want to go, lay the bicycle down.
Do they use a camouflage bike?
No.
No? I'm just wondering because I think maybe the deer would see that. They can read a sign telling them where to cross the street. They could probably see where the bicycle is.
Yeah. They actually, you know, well, we'll get into more of that when we get into different
Tom,
shows.
I don't think I've ever seen you speechless.
Well, the curiosity of the deer is amazing. The things that you can do that draws them in with curiosity that many people feel the deer are spooked by,
uh-huh.
they scare away. There are many instances that they are. I'm not arguing that, but there's many things that can be done that draws them in that you would think, oh, I can't do that because that's not natural.
So deer don't live by the same adage that cats do?
They don't
curiosity
have
kills the cat.
Yeah, they do. Curiosity also gets the deer.
Yes, it does.
Farmers Co-op Elevator in Hudsonville is your food plot headquarters with over 40 different seed varieties to choose from, providing in-house soil testing as well as fertilizers, lime, and equipment to plant, maintain, and get maximum performance out of your food plot. Visit Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville. For a complete list of products and services, check them out online at fcelevator.com. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery for all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-saying, God bless America hunting and fishing needs. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back, ready to answer your questions right here on The Outdoor Show.
You know, every time I hear that, Tom, you just get my heart beating in the morning, you know?
I got the voice for that, don't I?
You got it down. You know, you wake up the community.
Anyhow, Claire.
Yeah.
What's the forecast for tomorrow?
The forecast for tomorrow is actually, it's going to be a nice day, partly cloudy with a high of 78.
See all them people whining about what's going to happen if it rains?
Well, they're
your canoe's going to get full.
You're going to get wet, okay? And typically the people that we go with, most of them get wet anyway when they're
That's
canoeing.
They fall over.
They fall over, you know? Lack of experience. One canoe trip a year does not make you a professional.
No. You know, that's interesting because I was thinking, you know, we don't really canoe that much. But then we started counting up, my boys and I counting up how many miles on the rivers that we've done. It's no wonder that they're really good with those canoes.
Yeah, they manage. I remember when we went to, you know, with the Manistee and the Pine, yep, those couple times. Mm-hmm. And those are a little bit more treacherous routes.
Those are a bit tricky for, especially for novices.
For you, because they're tighter, a lot of turns, and it's just a quicker flow of water.
Yeah, the Pine, I believe, is the fastest flowing river in the Lower Peninsula. You may not think so, but it just miles per hour, it's the fastest flowing one.
And that's a fun one to go on. Those, if you've done some canoeing and kayaking. We're going to take that nice leisurely, what is it, about a 3-mile float?
Well, it's Muskegon. It was 4 or 5 miles by road. So we're going to do quite a few miles there because of all the turns.
It's a 12-mile trek.
On the river?
I believe so.
It might be.
I think it's a 12-mile trek we're going on.
So if that takes us 4 hours, that's a 3-mile-an-hour river.
Yeah.
That's half of the Pine. Pine's moving at 6 miles.
I'm believing it's going to take us longer than four, the group we're going with, though. But it's going to be good. I can just think of my daughter and her friend going to Nick, and I might have to tow them, I'm thinking. I'm not sure.
You think? They did good last year.
Yeah, they went on both sides of the river repeatedly.
This is true. This is true. Did you see what my daughter was doing last year?
I think she was riding in the middle of your canoe.
No. She had her own canoe. She had a friend with her.
Okay.
And then she was standing.
That's right. I do recall that now. Yeah, she was standing. Not something that's really recommended.
Well, you know, she spent a lot of time in canoes. Yes. So she was standing up and paddling. So then she challenged me to do it. So I did it for a little while, and I said, I'm getting a little old for this balance thing. Mm-hmm. So I sat back down because there was a time when I used to just stand up when I'd go under where fishermen would all be, and they'd get their lures all caught on the tree branches.
So you try to reach up and grab some of them?
I would pull all those lures out of the tree branches. I had lures upon lures upon lures collected up in my canoe so many times. And then I started getting older, and I lost a pair of glasses one time. Because
you got caught on a tree branch?
No. I was out in the middle of the lake, and all I wanted to do was go from the middle to the back. I was just got up and was going to move, but I could feel that I had gone sideways for some reason, whatever it might have been, maybe age, I don't know. And I said, "Uh-oh!" And I didn't want to roll the canoe, so I just bailed. And when I bailed off backwards, and I didn't have my strap on my glasses, and they just kind of floated away.
I don't remember last year. I lost my hat.
You did?
Oh yeah, that nice little. I had that pink heels hat that I wore. Oh. That camouflage hat.
How did you lose that?
Well. As I mentioned, my daughter last year, she was going from side to side. They got entangled into some trees, lost her paddle, so I kayaked back to where they were and tried to retrieve that. And I feel like I nearly drowned trying to do that. But I did lose my hat. So,
well, that's okay. Amy lost her...
mind?
Stop that. she lost her shoes. And she lost her sunglasses. We had gone. We were canoeing. Now, and, you know, we're kind of doing this to make sure people, you know, think about when they're going canoeing. And you get to where there's a bridge going over top. We were up by Lincoln Bridge on Pine River. And there's people saying, pull over, pull over. And I said, what for? And they said, the trees. Well, one tree, as you're facing downriver, one tree came down and went into the water, leaving a narrow path on the far right. After that, another tree came down from the same side.
Oh, same side.
Same side, but it extended all the way across the river, leaving a narrow underpass
underneath
on the left side.
On the trunk, essentially.
Yeah, so you had to cut. In the distance, two canoes between them, okay? So 30 feet.
You mentioned that's a faster river.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So 30 feet. And we're talking a width of maybe, you had to cut across maybe 50 to 60 feet. Okay? So we come across on the right, and I said to my wife is quite novice at canoeing, but she went canoeing with us on the Pine, and she's gone since. This didn't end it forever. But
she thought about it.
The boys were very, very small, very young. Lucas was with us, and Jacob was with Russ and Heidi. And we went across on the right, and I said, just do everything I tell you to do. We'll be just fine. She was quite nervous. And I said, okay, get your paddle ready, and when we come across on the right, I want you to dig in on the right as hard as you can. And then what I did is I back paddled on the left.
Sure.
Okay. And that turned us right after the tree.
Snap it around.
Because remember, there's a good rush right there because the tree now is narrowing
down. Got a
little
boil going down.
Yeah. So we did that. We started shooting across. And I said, don't touch the tree. Just
touch the tree?
Just duck. Okay? Just duck or lay back. Whatever fits you under there, don't touch the tree. And so we go shooting across. And as the current, of course, is pushing us, we're going sideways in the current. And then it's pushing us around. And when she came to the tree, she put both hands on the tree.
Which stopped her abruptly.
No. Well, yeah, it did. The canoe kept going, and so did Lucas and I. She went right out of the canoe. But with the tip, we took in some water. So I stood up in the canoe, and Lucas is sitting there just, he's like squatted in the middle of the canoe.
Hanging
I'm at the back.
For dear life.
Yeah, all the water's down there. Well, he's prepped, and I don't know what he's prepped for, but he's prepped. He's squatted. He's ready to go. Amy comes up out of the water, gasping for air, because the water in the pine runs
cold.
About 43 degrees. And she comes up gasping for air and disoriented, grabs the canoe, raises the front of the canoe up, okay, pushes it up, thinking she's saving the canoe, which then made everything get more intensified at the back, sinking the canoe, the back end down underneath the water. And Lucas, when that happened, he was prepped. He bailed.
He jumped up.
He headed for shore. He said, I'm not hanging with this. And he was gone. You got to remember, he's just a little guy. And then Amy's sitting there holding the canoe. And I said, let go of the canoe. And she looks at me in this deer in the headlights kind of look. And I said, let go of the canoe. She just keeps looking at me. I said, let go of my canoe. Finally, she let go of the canoe. She went to the opposite side of the river to find shore. It was, you think about that cold water.
Disorientation.
Oh, man. So she's on the opposite side. Now, her seat cushion, her paddle, all that stuff started floating down the river. I went over to the other side, the side that we were closest to. Russ took the boys, and they paddled downstream to go get the cushion and the paddle and everything, and then paddled back upstream. So now think about that, paddling upstream. Russ and the two little boys, they had those little three-foot paddles. And they were just a stroking because they were keeping that canoe moving. Russ went down and came back up with the canoe. And she was on the other side. Her sunglasses were hanging on her T-shirt, underneath her chin.
Yep.
And then she had the loose shoes that you just slide your feet in. Well, those were on her feet. And she said, she's over on the other side. I said, get over here. She said, how do I get there? I said, you got to swim. So I tossed her a seat cushion. She put that. Laid on that to go come across, stay afloat.
And she lost her glasses.
Glasses popped off. The shoes came off because she couldn't keep them on.
Well, sometimes there are disasters that occur, and there are, the key things that you talked about that I heard is your PFD, your boat cushion, life jacket.
Yes.
You got to have that with you, especially
you
if you're a novice canoe or kayaker. Yeah. You got to respect the water because it can be very dangerous.
Well,
you're not
to wear
attention.
A PFD, a wearable, a vest. That's a really good idea for beginners. Really good idea.
Yes,
and I don't suggest it be not a good idea
for veterans even.
Veterans.
I mean, people that have done it a number of times. And I'm taking a kayak, and in my kayak, I wear my vest because they can get a tendency to, even for an experienced person, you can catch something and flip, not so much on the Muskegon because it's
nice and slow. But the thing is, if you do roll, if you go with a rowdy group and you roll, I've known people, past tense, hit their head coming out and had to be rescued from the river or didn't leave the river.
Didn't really leave. So, and you mentioned rowdy, there's a natural respect. You can go out there and have a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely.
But you got to respect the water and you got to respect the property of the people that you're going past. And those are some of the issues that they've had up in Muskegon, and they've tried to do a lot to clean that up with local law enforcement and DNR and whatnot. Yeah.
Let's talk a little more on those topics right there, because that's something people need to remember. We should maybe do that in the spring again, but I think we need to do it for the fall here for
you
people hitting some of those late season trips. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Classes are offered regularly. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328, or find us on your computer at mifirearmsets.com. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. We don't have a lot of time left, but we got enough time left to take a phone call, wouldn't you think?
Call us.
Well, you got the.
It's 7:48 on our clock here, Tom.
Is that right, Claire? Well, she nodded her head, said yes, it is.
All right.
We just want to make sure the clock is right.
Yes, it is right.
We were talking about canoeing and respect and all that. I got to say, because I told the story about my wife and what happened in the water, I have to say, because there's people that know her that are listening.
Or laughing.
They're probably laughing, yeah. And they're going to harass her. But I'll tell you what, my wife is a trooper. She had only canoed on lakes until she did that and went on the river. She had a bad experience on the river. 43-degree water, dump into that. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. And she still goes.
She's going to go with us tomorrow.
She is. She's going to enjoy it.
Yes, even if
she doesn't want to. No.
But we were talking about respecting property rights and riparian rights and all that fun stuff there, I guess. So,
This kind of goes along with fishing and trapping
and hunting. I mean, all of these things.
Yeah.
It's okay to go do events, hunting, fishing, whatever. But you got to be respectful of where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hunting from a tree, are you prepared for that? Respect that tree, respect the woods. I mean, are you prepared to climb that tree? You're out elk hunting. Are you prepared to? Those are a little bit bigger than our local whitetail.
Just a little bit.
So to prep and haul one of them things out, and I mean, how many people have? They don't die from being shot while hunting, but they have heart condition, heart issues, and heart attacks.
It happens every year.
So I mean, you got to be respectful of those situations. But when they've had a number of issues in some of our local rivers, and Muskegon got quite a reputation over the last couple of years of being kind of the good time river.
That's because they kicked him off the pine.
Yes, probably. So they came down on the Muskegon River, and there's a lot of tomfoolery that goes on and language and alcohol issues that have prompted some of the locals that live there to call out to their local gendarme.
Well, you think about it. If you want to trap a stream, you have to have permission from the landowners on both sides of that stream to trap that stream. There's a lot of guys who say, well, it's flowing water. I can go wherever I want. Not if you're going to touch ground.
Okay, unless you can just helicopter yourself in.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have permission, and that's both sides. So these people, you know, they've agreed that people canoeing down this river is a good thing for Michigan and the area, and they just don't want to have everybody leaving their trash on their property. They don't want people coming up and destroying the seawall, so to speak, that they may have put there for erosion or whatever it might be. And they're just looking to be living along the river peacefully and allowing you to use it. So be peaceful.
Be respectful.
Be respectful and
have fun.
Well, definitely.
You can have fun, but
we have all kinds of fun.
We do.
And we don't do bad things.
No. Well, we behave. We do, Mother. If you're listening, we do behave.
We push the limits. We always do, but it's not the limits of how bad can we be.
No.
It's more the limits of what can we do at our age.
Yeah, we're getting up there in age. But yeah, what I said, we had 19 canoes and kayaks that are going to be going tomorrow, and looking forward to it. There was some concern that we might get wet.
Really?
And I said,
Claire gave us the weather report. Yep. We're okay.
I told my sister, you're going to get wet. Just trust me on that. If I got to help you out of the canoe, you're going to get wet.
If it doesn't rain all day, at the end, I can see what's going to happen.
Yep.
The other thing, when you go canoeing or you go camping, you go backpacking, you go hunting, you go fishing, a small onion bag, you know, so that there's the it's just a net.
Yep.
Works great. You can hook it on your belt. You can put it in your sack. You can do whatever you want. You can hook it on the canoe. But put your garbage in there.
Put your garbage in there.
The onion sacks work great on the water because they don't fill up with water mm-hmm. like a garbage bag would. So you use that. Your garbage goes in. It traps the garbage, and you know the water can pass through if anything occurs. When you go mushroom hunting, we use onion bags so that the spores of the mushrooms can keep dropping and then possibly,
repopulating the
mushroom. Yeah, we want to have more.
Population, yes.
We got to have more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's so many things that we can do this fall. We can go bicycling. We can go hiking. Fall hiking.
Yes.
That is phenomenal.
And even in the winter, before it gets too heavy, I've gone a bunch of times where there's not like feet of snow, and they're predicting again what Snowmageddon for this year from what I hear.
Snowmageddon? I didn't hear Snowmageddon yet.
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard. It's going to be worse than last year.
Yeah, you know. Of course, many of us are going to go, yeah, right, that's our weatherman. You know, it's going to be worse than last year.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's going to happen, and we're all going to say, I don't have a shovel.
Yeah.
I don't have kitty litter. I don't have floor dry. I don't have...
My tires are bald.
Oh, hey, yeah. Well, that happens every winter. Yeah. Ask my buddy Dave.
Yeah, yeah, he sells tires.
as soon as the snow falls, he's busy as can be. I got to get tires.
But no, even as we train, I mean, the fall is a beautiful time, obviously, in Michigan with the color changes. Just going out for drives and seeing the colors. I know a lot of my friends on motorcycles, they go out and do fall color tours on motorcycles. But hiking through the woods, bicycling through the woods, just beautiful time.
Have you gone to the Manistee Trail in the fall?
I have.
You have?
Uh-huh. A couple of years back, we went did just the Manistee Riverside.
Right. When the color changes and you go camping there, the key thing that I'd like to have people remember, take something Hunter Orange to have on.
Yeah, because there are people out there.
They're hunting along the river there. That's all public land. And they're hunting along the river. So when you get out bicycling, you go out. You know, the hunting seasons are coming up, and you go out there, wear Hunter Orange. It's high visibility orange is what that is. You don't have to go buy a hunting garment with camouflage orange. You can just wear high visibility orange. I like to have something orange, especially on my head.
I tell you what, we talked earlier about, you know, how smart these animals are and training critters to cross the street here and there. And
mm-hmm.
If those animals are so smart, why aren't they wearing Hunter's Orange?
The store's closed.
Yes, this... Yeah, moving right along.
But, you know, if they're wearing Hunter Orange, you know, I especially like something on my head and something on my back because I can't see behind me. And that helps to make sure that at least that the visibility is there. On my head, it's 360 degrees. And then people can see me and understand that I'm not an animal. Don't take that chance because there's...
I am not an animal.
So, we got bicycling, we got canoeing, we got kayaking, we got backpacking, we got hiking, we got camping. You can do all of those
hunting,
things.
Fishing, all that stuff.
You don't have to leave the woods because hunting is going on.
And we
I like to combine those things with hunting.
You know, Labor camping. Day weekend, oh my goodness, the summer's over. But
no,
you
it's
can
not.
Still do this stuff. Long into the fall, and like I said, you can do it in the winter. We got opportunities.
Unless you just started a new job as a teacher,
you're
going to be spending every weekend writing curriculum.
And what did I get myself into? Seriously, I'm looking forward to this.
Keep telling yourself that. Yep. No, I'm not. I'm kidding about that. I look forward to it at the end of every summer. I look forward to getting back to school and getting ready and ready for those kids to come back in.
Absolutely,
because it's you know. It's a blast out there at the tech center. It really is.
I heard rumors to that.
It's awesome.
A good time, so.
It's definitely awesome.
But just because school's starting doesn't mean the fun's got to end.
No.
You
know, I should say, because we're teachers out there, that if anybody is still lacking in their schedule for classes, send them out to the tech center. Have them check it out and have them get signed up. We still have the first week that they can get transferred in. So get them kids out there. If they're having difficulty with that schedule, yeah, get out there. I should have said this like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't here 3 weeks ago. We've been recording.
Could have podcasted that. Yeah. Put it on your recording.
We could have. Oh, we got a phone call to end the session here, I think. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Hey, good morning. It's Ron again.
Hey,
Ron again.
My name.
No, I thought it was Ron calling, and now it's Ron again.
Well, we had Ron
your brother?
And now we got Ron again.
Yep, it's a popular name here in Holland.
What's up, Ron?
You know, with the seasons changing and kids getting back to school, people think summer's over and there's, you know, no time to do things. Getting out later in the late afternoon, early evenings, there's some great fishing going on right here in our own backyards.
This is true, Ron, because
dust off those fishing poles. Yeah, no matter what age you are, just get back out and take a kid fishing.
Well, that last hour of sunlight, that's a beautiful time to pick up a bunch of fish.
Is that between 9 and 10 o'clock? Or?
No, well, it's much earlier now.
Changing, yes.
What time's the sun going to set, Claire? Well, you got the internet over there.
So
you put the poor lady on the spot here.
I did put her on the spot. She's like, wait a minute, what? So, Ron, you can't really go for long bicycle trips or hikes or anything anymore because of surgeries and all that stuff.
Yeah, and bicycling is one of my most favorite things. I used to do a bike safety program here in the city of Holland for over 5 years.
Right.
I gave away bike safety flags at neighborhood events.
Yep.
But due to my injuries, I cannot mount a regular style bike anymore. But the problem is I cannot afford one of those fancy incumbent bikes now. So I'm stuck being a landline person, kind of just walking around. Maybe a sloth in a little while.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time, Ron. I thank you for calling.
Good day.
Thank you, sir.
And we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good day. Bye-bye.
Lee, thank you for coming in.
Well, Tom, once again, it's my pleasure to my side. Yeah.
Just remember, Powderhorn Guns and Archery for all your... No.
Salute once more.
So, anyhow.
Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to everyone. We'll talk to you again next week right here on The Outdoor Show.
Thanks for listening to the WHTC Outdoor Show, presented by Powderhorn Guns and Archery and My Firearms ETS. That's MI Firearms ETS on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.